As we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table, let me direct your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. We're going to begin our reading at verse 22, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. John 6, 22 through 59. Hear the word of God. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus hadn't entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And so when the crowd saw that Jesus wasn't there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And so Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? And then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who don't believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he was one of the 12 who was going to betray him. Amen. So far, God's word. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes this morning that we may behold wonderful things from your word. We pray that you will speak to us and teach us. We pray that you will commune with us and allow us to commune with you in that faith that brings salvation. For it is a faith that rests in you and in your grace. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. After Jesus fed the 5,000 at the beginning of John chapter 6 and then walked on the water in that famous miracle at the second part of chapter 6, the crowds are now intrigued by this stranger who has shown up around Galilee. He's not really a stranger, I guess. They say, "We know who you are. Joseph is your father. We know your brothers and sisters. We know that you were raised right here in Nazareth. You're nobody really, really special except for the fact that you can do great things. We like the fact that you were able to feed all these people miraculously. And from one small boy's lunch, you were able to feed 5,000 men plus their wives and children. That's quite a skill to have, Jesus." And Jesus understands that they were impressed by his miracle, not because it was a sign that demonstrated his deity and his mission, but because, well, the people were hungry and they'd found a cheap and easy way to get their meals prepared. Remember that in the first century, you couldn't just go down the street to the Piggly Wiggly and pick up a lunch at the deli. There were no fast food places. Fixing a meal was a main part of the day. You could only eat what you had available. So if you were poor, you might have a little bit of bread. Sometimes you had to make that bread stretch out over several days. And you might have a little bit of something to drink. But even if you were moderately wealthy, a good bit of your day would have been spent coming up with food to feed yourself and feed your family. So if a man came along who said, "I can feed you and you won't have to do a thing and it won't cost you a thing," that would have been quite the man to have on your side. And Jesus understands what motivates the crowds who are seeking him here in Capernaum. "You didn't come to me because of the signs," he says. "You came because you ate the bread and had your fill of the loaves. You were selfish. You're still motivated by what somebody can do for you." And it's at this point that Jesus wants to introduce these people to what we call the gospel. The good news. And the good news is that God has sent down bread from heaven that will feed us in such a way that we will never be hungry again and we will live unto eternal life. Now that's an extraordinary kind of bread. Think how remarkable that must have been for the people who were in Jesus' audience at the synagogue in Capernaum. Wait a second. There is a bread that will forever satisfy us. We'll never get tired of it. You have to imagine that they had in the back of their minds the story of the wilderness wanderings from Exodus. You remember how God delivered the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea and destroyed the army of Pharaoh. And then as they're wandering through the desert, the question arises, how are we going to eat? We don't have any crops. We took some unleavened bread with us, but that's going to run out quickly. How are we going to feed this mass of a couple of million people? And God says, I'm going to provide you with bread from heaven. And you remember he gave them that stuff that was called manna. And they were able to pick it up every day. And every day there would be enough for every family to provide food for themselves. On Friday, they would be able to pick up a double portion so that they could have food not only for Friday, but also for the Sabbath day on Saturday. And every day this manna came, and every day the people were able to get their fill. But you also remember that it wasn't long before the people grumbled and complained. They didn't grumble that God wasn't meeting their needs. They grumbled that he met their needs so regularly and with such faithfulness that they were tired of his faithfulness. They grumbled because they were tired of eating manna. Now, they said, we remember what it was like in Egypt. Our pots were full and we were happy and love and life was so good. And Moses has to remind them, you were slaves. You did not have full pots. Here you're living every day in dependence on God, but look at how faithful he's been to you. Look at what he gives you. But it's the same old stuff every day. I know some people who grumble if they have to eat the same thing for breakfast 2 or 3 days in a row. And I know some people who grumble if their lunch is the same thing every Monday and every Tuesday, and if they eat the same lunch every Friday. We want variety. We want some kind of change, they say. We don't like to eat the same thing. Can you imagine what it was like to eat manna every day for 40 years? But in a world where there was no food and where people were constantly on the go and much of the day would have been spent getting your stuff together and moving your family along, this was a wonderful act of grace. It was a very ordinary act of grace. It had become rather routine, but it was a wonderful gift from God. It was bread from heaven, and they were never to forget that, but they did. And so when the Jews began to question Jesus at the Capernaum synagogue, and they said, look, what are you going to do to convince us that you are the Christ, the Messiah? Moses gave us that bread. That was quite the miracle. It's true. It was kind of a routine thing, but he gave it to us. And Jesus says, you don't understand. Moses didn't give you anything. God gave you that bread. And now God has given to you in this age a new bread, which is the true bread that comes down from heaven. The word true seems to indicate here that this is a better bread than the manna. The manna was just a kind of a prophecy or sign or symbol or type of what God was going to send later on. And now the later on thing has come. And I am he, Jesus says, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven that gives life to the world. And he who eats of this bread will live forever. And he who comes to me and partakes of me and believes in me and receives me as the Christ, this person will be forever satisfied because I am going to save him or save her, and I'm going to keep him or her all the way to eternal life. And nothing will ever separate you from God if you partake of me. And nothing will ever cause you to lose your salvation if you feast on me. And you will never meet the penalty and the right justice for your sins because I will take your punishment upon myself. And you will forever walk with me, and I will walk with you, and you will have life. And the Jews were confused by this. Like Nicodemus back in John chapter 3 when Jesus talked about the new birth, their thinking was kind of truncated. They only thought in terms of things they were familiar with, and Nicodemus could only picture birth as the physical birth of a baby. And so he asked Jesus, you remember, how can a man enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? And now the Jews say, what do you mean we're going to eat your flesh and drink your blood? That's kind of cannibalistic and gory, and that's not what we good, decent Jewish people do. And Jesus is trying to explain to them that the kind of eating that he's referring to here is that kind of eating that takes place by faith. It's where we feast on Jesus by taking him at his word. When he says that he is the one who came from God to give life to all who believe in him. And that as we dwell on him and receive him and meditate on him and spiritually feast on him, he's not only going to forgive our sins, and he's not only going to raise us up at the last day, but he's also going to sustain us and nourish us and keep us while we make our wilderness journey as we become pilgrims through this world. What important words those are for the soul that's hungry and thirsty, that's weary and ready to give up. Jesus says, if you will come to me, I'll keep you going. I'll be your manna from heaven. I will every day give you what you need. I will give you grace sufficient for the need. And when you come to that thirsty place in the wilderness and you need water, I'll be the water from the rock that satisfies you. And when you're tired and weary and you need a place to rest, I'm going to let you camp by the calm waters, and I will refresh you and sustain you. And when you have enemies that sneak up on you and attack you from behind, I will be your protector and defender. And when you need instruction, I will be your Moses, and I will give you the word that comes from God. And when you need encouragement, I will be the one to encourage you. And when you need correction, I'll be the one who thunders from Sinai a bit and gives you the correction that you will need. But when you come to me and put your trust in me as the one who comes from God, I will be the bread of life to you. I will bless you and keep you. I will make you understand not only how much you need me, but I will fill that need each and every day. What a wonderful picture of the Christian life. Jesus is the manna, the true manna that comes down from heaven so that people like you and me can make it through a world of sin and darkness and chaos and difficulty, a world of death, a world of sickness and oppression. And Jesus says, you walk with me, and even though we walk through the wilderness, we're going to walk together. And I will feed you, and I will sustain you and keep you. That's the promise of God. The promise that comes to us in Jesus Christ. It's the promise that's repeated for us today, not only in the gospel lesson here in John 6, but also at the Lord's Supper, where Jesus says, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Eat of this bread, drink of this cup. And Jesus says, this is my gift to you. I am your Lord and Savior. I am your protector and defender. I am your keeper and your God. Believe in me, and I will deliver you. A couple of inferences from this need to be remembered before we move along to the communion table. One is, you'll notice that Jesus did not require these people to go through any kind of extended preparation There was no new members class that had to be fulfilled. There were no long list of changes that had to be met and checked off of a list before someone could feed on Christ. Jesus simply says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who comes to me will have eternal life. There's been kind of an immediacy to the call that we should never forget when we read this portion of Scripture. That's important for us because when we come to church this morning and we think, well, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm a Christian or not, or I'm not sure if I'm really ready to come to the Lord's table or not, or I'm not sure what the Lord thinks about me today because I'm kind of guilty and kind of ashamed of how I spent the past week. Jesus says to you, just like he said to the Jews at Capernaum, look, you come and feed on me. If you receive me as the one who comes from God, if you believe that I am the true bread of life, if you believe that by joining yourself to me, your sins are forgiven, and that I am able and willing and committed to bringing you to eternal life, then you come to this table and eat. You say, well, I've got this particular sin. And Jesus says, well, repent of the sin, but come if you believe in me. This is a table for sinners. Everybody who comes and eats this table today will be a sinner. We will have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We will all be eating of Christ's bread, not because we're worthy, but because Christ has promised grace and salvation and food to those who come. The second inference that we can't help but notice is that there were some people in this crowd who rejected Jesus because of this teaching. We say, well, why would anybody want to reject it? Jesus said, come and I will feed you and I will keep you unto eternal life. And we notice that Jesus says, well, some of you don't believe. We sometimes in our culture think it's in poor taste to tell people that they're unbelievers. But the Bible's pretty clear. There are people in this world who believe in Jesus, and there are also people in this world who don't believe in Jesus. They have rejected his invitation. They have rejected his authority. They have rejected his claims to be the Son of God. And Jesus says, those are not his sheep in chapter 10. But in this chapter, he also says, you realize that if you are a believer, that you are to give great praise and thanks to God for your faith. You need to understand that this faith is not of yourselves. Jesus says, everyone who comes to me will come because he has been given to me by the Father, verse 37. And everyone who comes to me will come because he has been drawn from the Father, in verse 44. And in verse 45, Jesus goes on to say, you know that if you believe in me, it was because God taught your heart the things you need to know. They will all be taught by God. And so Jesus keeps reminding the people here that this salvation that he has come to bring is not only miraculous in the idea that he has come from heaven and that Jesus of Nazareth is the God of the Bible walking around in human flesh, but it's also miraculous in the sense that anybody would believe it. It's nothing less than a work of God that there are any Christians in the world today. Only God can raise us from our spiritual death. Only God can give us eyes to see Christ as he is. Only God can cause us to see how terrible our sins are and how desperately we need a Redeemer. And only God can point us to Christ and say, this is the one who is the true bread who came down from heaven. This is the one who gives life to the world. Believe him. We don't know how all that works, and it's certainly beyond the scope of what we're doing this morning to get into the deeper things of God. But I think it's important for us when we come to the Lord's Supper to remember that if we do come with faith in Christ as our Redeemer, that we should come humbly and gratefully saying, Lord, thank you for saving me. We should come and say, Lord, thank you. There was a time when I was blind, but now I see. That amazing grace that saves me is your grace, and I am here to praise you. This is not a place for me to brag about my faith. It's not a place for me to boast about how I'm here and other people are somewhere else, because we should realize that if we are here as Christ's people, it's because Christ Himself met us, and Christ Himself redeemed us, and Christ by His Spirit has renewed us, and Christ by His Word is feeding us and keeping us in Him. This is a place to come. One of the old words for the Lord's Supper that you find in early Christian literature is the word Eucharist. It comes from the Greek New Testament word to give thanks. The Lord's Supper is primarily a place to give thanks, not only for Christ and His redeeming work, but for Christ's work in our lives, bringing us to Him and keeping us alive in Him, who is the true bread that comes down from heaven. Let's pray.